Some people would call us nosy.
And we've had to be nosy because that's what has given us the drive to keep going.
We've looked in ditches, we've looked in creeks. We have no problem getting our hands dirty, whatever it takes.
We have searched streams, we've searched fields.
We've stumbled upon a meth lab.
I have poked around, I have gotten very dirty.
I found myself doing things that I wouldn't ordinarily do just because somebody has to do it. Tina and Joni and I have done a lot of legwork. We had to learn because none of us knew anything about trying to find a missing person.
Lisa was there one day chatting me and emailing and calling us, and just the next day gone. Lisa was just very full of life, very energetic, bubbly person, just a lot of fun.
She was instant friends with anybody, really, that she came in contact with. She found humor in everything.
Lisa and I were the drill team together. Football and drill team and cheerleading was all a huge deal in high school. It was like a high school sorority, and we were all very close. We spent so many hours together. We really bonded through that. We were her family. She just vanished. No trace. I knew instantly something was wrong. We began taking notes, making a timeline, investigating people who had been in contact with Lisa. We put up a Facebook page and just kept getting the word out there.
I don't believe that people truly cared when Lisa first disappeared.
Police report had been opened and closed, but no one followed up. It was just unacceptable to us, and I just felt very frantic, like, if we didn't do this, who was going to do this?
Facebook has been extremely helpful in this whole scenario. We could be called Facebook detectives, if there is such a term. If there wasn't before, well, there is now.
We've got a lot of leads through that.
Tina and Joni and I are not going to stop until the truth does come out.
It's pretty peculiar.
We can't just walk away. We started this, and we can't stop until it's finished.
That's so packed in.
I'm gonna take a piece of it.
I'd stop touching it.
I would just wouldn't put any more fingerprints on it.
On this chilly night in Dallas, Texas, these three friends should be at home. Instead, they are out trying to solve a mystery.
For her to go missing even for one day is highly unusual and abnormal.
Tina, Joni, and Tammy are looking for clues at the home of their old friend, Lisa Stone, who vanished without a trace last spring.
We had to take matters into our own hands at that point.
51-year-old Lisa was last seen alive near her home in a Dallas suburb on June 5th, 2010.
Somebody had to look for Lisa.
The search for Lisa has taken her friends back down memory lane, all the way back to high school.
Oh my.
Tina, do you
remember? I know.
How are you?
I know. When I saw her picture on the news, I knew exactly who it was. She was so fun. She was, wasn't she? Look at the big hair. In some of these, the hair is bigger than the frame. Y'all remember any of these?
We were taught to be ladies. We were not allowed to wear uniforms outside of the stadium or outside of the school.
It's not Glee. People weren't running around in their little drill team outfits 24/7.
It was like a little sorority. It was like a high school sorority.
Isn't that you?
Yep. That's me.
Yep. And there she is.
In the late 70s, Lisa was a sexy, high-kicking cowgirl with the Mesquite High drill team.
I'm glad y'all are doing this with her. I hope you get some resolve out of this.
The old friends had first gotten back together at a school reunion in 2009, where they reminisced about old times.
We went out a lot on the weekends to the disco. We snuck in sometimes. We were a little underage. She loved that. She loved to have a good time, and she loved to dance.
They caught up, talked about how all of their lives had gone in very different directions. Joni Shannon was a homemaker with a Harley.
So are you excited? How's the year going?
And Tammy Markle, she had spent a lot of her life coaching beauty pageant contestants.
I was going to say, it needs to just be longer.
Tina Wiley spent years managing a construction business. Away from work, she had become obsessed with Facebook.
She thought I was the Facebook queen. She thought I was the expert.
Lisa had been in newspaper ad sales, but lost her job in 2006. She, too, was a huge Facebook fan.
I think that Facebook made her feel very young. I think she could relive her youth.
After the reunion, they used Facebook to keep in touch.
This is how I remember all of us looking pretty hot.
What kind of Facebook personality? I mean, some people are deeply private, other people let it all hang out.
Oh, no, there Lisa you. Let it all hang out.
You knew everything.
You knew everything, every detail of her life.
And one detail everyone knew was that Lisa Stone loved to be loved.
She always had a very strong desire to be loved.
She was very insecure, actually. Yeah. I think she always was looking for acceptance.
I think that need, too, for her to be loved caused her to overlook a lot of things.
Lisa grew up in a wonderful family. Her father was a Dallas cop. Her mother, a homemaker who took care of Lisa, her two brothers, and an older sister.
And she was very close with one of her brothers, I understand?
Yes. Dennis.
But Lisa's cheerful spirit had taken a beating over the years, battered by tragedy after tragedy. Her sister had been killed in a car crash. Her beloved brother Dennis died of AIDS. Her mother died of cancer. And then in 2005, her father, whom she'd been living with and caring for, passed away.
Friends had, I think, had become her family. We were her family.
The loss of her brother, Dennis, who was gay, cut especially close.
Growing up in the Mesquite in the 70s was very conservative. You didn't discuss such things.
It wasn't until that high school reunion that Lisa finally discussed her own secret.
At the party, she passed around this little souvenir she had from Six Flags, and it had the picture of her partner. And that's kind of how she told people there.
She was expecting, I think, when she passed around that picture, people to go, your partner? You mean you're gay?
Yeah.
And everybody went, oh, that's nice,
okay.
Here.
Well, my name is Sherry Henry, and Lisa is my partner of 15 plus years. When I first met Lisa, I walked into the club. She was across the way, and our eyes met. She came over and started chatting with me, and we hit it off.
Were you a couple almost immediately?
Almost immediately.
Were you in love with her?
Very much.
And was she in love with you?
I would hope.
After Lisa's dad died in 2005, Sherry came around more and more, eventually moving in 2009.
Did you consider yourselves married?
Yes.
Sherry says, as a couple, they shared a lot.
We grew up both in the Midwest, strong family values.
And apparently Lisa happily shared a $300,000 inheritance with Sherry. The couple lived off the inheritance until early 2010, when Lisa suddenly realized she was broke.
One day she came to me and just said that she was out of money.
Was that surprising to you?
Extremely surprising.
But in early June 2010, the relationship between Sherry and Lisa did come to an end. An abrupt end, when according to her friends, Lisa vanished.
I noticed I hadn't talked to her in about 2 weeks.
Were there postings on Facebook?
No.
Or any?
No postings, no photos, nothing for days from the woman who never skipped a single day on Facebook.
So I immediately got on the phone and started calling Sherry. She kept giving me different stories right away. Lisa's off doing odd jobs and like late at night. So immediately I started contacting Joni and Tammy.
When you told me Lisa is missing, she hasn't been heard from in a few weeks, I immediately knew that my heart started pounding.
And that's when all of us just got involved, trying to piece this together.
But Sherry says there's nothing to piece together.
Did you file a missing persons report?
No, I did not.
Was there ever a time when you thought, as her life partner, that you should file a missing persons report?
No. At the time, prior to me leaving Dallas, Lisa Stone is not missing.
I felt very frantic.
Nobody cared.
If we didn't do this, who was going to do this?
Joni, Tammy, and Tina believe Lisa Stone vanished on the first weekend of June 2010. On Saturday, June 5th, Lisa's regular daily Facebook postings just stopped.
I called her cell phone and it was disconnected.
But I'm sick at my stomach, something's
wrong.
We all
had that feeling.
Yeah. And we all did.
That very same day also appears to be the last day anyone physically saw Lisa Stone.
It was the 5th that Lisa was over here.
June 5th, 2010 is the last time you see her.
Yes.
Juanita Burris lives two doors down from Lisa and says that on that Saturday, like clockwork, Lisa came calling.
I think she depended on me for advice, and she would come over here and she'd sit in that chair. She was always around. She was in the yard, or she was at your house, or she was calling you. You could look out and you'd see Lisa.
So pretty much a day never went by in this neighborhood without someone seeing Lisa Stone.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The two women chatted that Saturday night, and Lisa promised to return the next day to take out Juanita's garbage. But Lisa never showed up.
Sherry called me the next day, which was very unusual.
Sherry called you?
She called me, and she said, Lisa's having a gallbladder attack. And she said, she's lying down. And she said, could she come over and take it out? And I said, that'll be fine. And she never. She'd been over here, I think, maybe one time. And she
One time in how many years?
The whole time she was over there.
3 days later, on June 9th, there was another curious development.
Joni, you got a hit on your Facebook.
I knew it wasn't Lisa because the way it was worded, it said, Joni, how are you and family?
Lisa's Facebook page, which had been eerily dormant for 3 days, lit up again. But the ladies say they are sure it was not Lisa who sent the message.
She never talked to me like that. She'd say, tell Steve hi, or how is Steve? She always said his name, not how are
your
you
husband.
And family.
Uh-huh. And what was your first reaction when you read it? Were you at all relieved?
No, because I knew it was Sherry.
But Sherry says she's never even been on Facebook.
I don't know how to log on. I don't know anything about Facebook.
10 days later, Juanita Burris was worried enough to go to the Dallas police to file a missing persons report.
What was their response when you went to Dallas PD?
Well, he said, she's probably just somewhere, said she'll be back. I said, something has happened to her.
Do you think Dallas police took your report seriously?
No, they thought I didn't know what I was talking about.
Within 2 days, June 21st, a detective did stop by Lisa's house. But Sherry told the cop there was nothing to worry about. Lisa was simply away.
They just accepted that as the truth and closed the file.
We didn't feel like the police were responding.
The Facebook friends called Sherry repeatedly to ask where Lisa was.
Every day I was told a different story. Every day, Lisa was off here, Lisa was off there.
For example, Sherry told the ladies that Lisa was working odd jobs for a friend, Pat James, helping her in the garden.
I had hand surgery and I couldn't do a lot of work in the garden. So I hired her and she'd come over every morning about 9 o'clock and she'd stay till about 5.
But that was in May, well before Lisa disappeared.
I was in Florida 3 weeks. And Lisa's friends, Tammy and Tina, they both called me in Florida. They had tracked me down. And I says, what's up? And she says, well, Lisa's disappeared. And I said, disappeared?
Finally, on June 29th, terrified that something truly awful had happened to Lisa, Joni and Tina confronted Sherry.
Joni and I went there one night. Sherry let us in, and we sat down and talked to her for about an hour and a half.
She said, Lisa's working, she's on her way home, and I've ordered us a pizza. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this was at like 8 p.m.
What did she tell you?
Nothing.
Did you think Lisa was coming home?
No.
Eventually, the ladies just left. But Sherry says actually, they never showed up.
Did any of her high school friends come over in June and say, we want to see her? And you said, according to them, she's on her way home, I've ordered a pizza, you can come in and wait for her?
No.
Did that ever happen?
No.
It never happened?
No.
They're adamant that they came over to the house.
They can be as adamant as they want to.
Almost a month after Lisa was last seen, Joni says she decided to surprise Sherry and swing by Lisa's house again. And that led to an unbelievable chance encounter. As Joni drove into Lisa's neighborhood, she texted Tina.
Joni said she was going to go by the house and see if she came home with Lisa. So I was just about to talk when Joni called me.
Tina, guess what? Sherry is driving Lisa's car and sitting beside me at a red light.
And did she notice you?
No. And I panicked for a moment because I couldn't believe this. I was like, oh my goodness. I said, oh my gosh, what do I do? And she said, follow her. So I followed Sherry. She pulled into a 7-Eleven parking lot. She pulls in front of the dumpster. I pull behind the gas pump and just get out of the car. And I'm hiding behind the pump watching her. And she proceeded to open up the trunk and started pulling out baskets and a little suitcase and proceeded to throw them in the trash dumpster.
In the dumpster, Joni says she found a suitcase full of Lisa's most personal belongings.
Lisa's birth certificate was in there. Her deceased brother, Dennis, his death certificate was in there. Bibles, just real precious personal things that she would not have disposed of.
But why would Sherry dump Lisa's belongings? Sherry says she didn't.
Tell me about the dumpster incident.
Here's what I will tell you about the dumpster incident. There is no dumpster incident.
When you say there was no dumpster incident, do you deny that you threw a blue suitcase full of personal items inside the dumpster?
Absolutely.
You were never there.
True.
That's all just a flat-out lie?
Flat-out lie.
The ladies had had it.
I just thought that nothing she told me had been true.
Armed with evidence from the dumpster and a timeline of events, on July 3rd, the women marched into police headquarters and demanded action.
We met at the Dallas Police downtown office, walked in the front door and said, you're going to listen to us.
The cops agreed to take another look. But that didn't mean the ladies were about to let go of their own investigation. They tapped into the power of Facebook, asking Lisa's Facebook friends for any information that might help them find her.
It's been huge. We've got a lot of clues actually on there.
It worked. One of the strongest Facebook clues led them to a creek bed near Lisa's house. As the ladies worked the case, Tina, the Facebook queen, took command.
Anything that comes along, we check it out. So we've checked a couple of areas that people gave us a tip.
They put up this billboard, raised money for a $10,000 reward, and created a Facebook page dedicated exclusively to finding Lisa. One Facebook clue led them to a muddy creek bed not far from Lisa's house.
What is this place?
Well, this is a creek area that runs from behind Lisa's house all the way down.
According to the tip, Lisa's girlfriend, Sherry, was seen in the area covered with mud several weeks after Lisa disappeared.
Sherry was described as muddy or very dirty.
You were in the creek.
No, I was in the creek.
That's right. Sherry actually admits she was in the creek.
That was the day I was surrounded by at least 10 or 15 women in their SUVs and cars trying to track me down. And I felt like I was a rabbit being chased for the hunt.
That very same day, Sherry says a group of unidentified women started to stalk and harass her.
I come home. When I come around the back alley and go through the gate, I see the blinds part.
Inside your house?
Inside the house. So I get a little freaked. I'm thinking somebody's in the house. Now you tell me, you wouldn't be scared for that?
Sherry says she ran for her life, and that's how she ended up in the creek.
I'm afraid. I went around through the woods off of that creek area.
The Facebook detectives deny they ever chased Sherry into the creek that day or broke into her house, but agree they have been watching her closely.
At some point, did she accuse all of you of stalking her?
Yes.
She went to the police?
Yes.
In fact, the Dallas police did warn the women to back off after Sherry complained about them.
Has anyone in the group, the whole group of the women, ever maybe crossed the line in terms of looking for evidence?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Sherry isn't about to back down from a fight with the Facebook detectives.
My issue is with three or four people out there, Tina Wiley, Joni Shannon, and Tammy Markle. You will not tear down my life. You will not point the finger at me until you have verifiable proof that I have ever done anything other than support Lisa Stone and whatever she wanted to accomplish in her life. Lisa and I love each other. End of discussion.
To hear Sherry Henry tell the story, Lisa's friends do nothing of Lisa's real-life drama.
You're on Facebook, but yet you claim you're a really good friend of Lisa.
So are you saying she didn't really have a relationship with those women?
I know she didn't.
According to Sherry, there's a lot about Lisa the Facebook detectives don't know. Starting with insurmountable money problems when the inheritance ran out. But there was also a lifelong battle with depression and dependence on medication. And in the months leading up to June of 2010, Sherry says Lisa fell back into a dangerous old habit.
What was she doing?
Cocaine. She was in a rut, and it was more of a stagnation where she just couldn't handle it anymore.
What was her behavior like?
Erratic. She would not be there for a couple of days.
Where was she going?
I don't know.
Did you ask her?
Yes.
What did you think she was doing?
Well, I knew that she was partying.
Sherry claims that is the reason why she never filed a missing persons report.
That's what I'm trying to tell everyone out there that wants to listen now. I don't know if Lisa took off, doesn't want to be found, doesn't want help. If there truly is a problem, she's off her medication, she's doing drugs. We have a whole mix of things here.
But Lisa's Facebook friends were well aware of her troubled life.
I gave her a pretty nice sum of money at that point and said, go get your prescription meds, some food, and do what you need to do.
They had been funneling cash to Lisa for months and pushing her to end what they believed was a volatile and destructive relationship with Sherry.
I took Lisa out to dinner in March of 2009, and as we were having dinner that night, she told me that Sherry's mood had gotten increasingly angry.
If Lisa was so dedicated to Sherry, the women believe it makes no sense that at her neediest moment in life, Lisa would just take off.
A lot of people were worried and about her safety, but Lisa wouldn't listen. She was a grown woman. She wouldn't do anything about it.
And something else didn't make sense to the women. What they found at Lisa's house, which had been empty since Sherry moved out last summer. It was where the ladies first confronted Sherry when Lisa disappeared.
So the night that you were here, did you do any kind of investigating or try to look around?
I came into this bathroom.
It was on that night they noticed something peculiar, and which was still obvious months later when they gave us a tour.
The bathroom is behind here.
I could peek in enough to see everything was in order. It looked very clean.
When you look back here in the bedroom, you can still see there's cat hair.
The ladies wondered, why was the bathroom spotless?
So somebody cleaned the bathroom, but didn't clean the bedroom.
Was it a crime scene? And who cleaned it? It was a mystery. Until neighbor Susan Scott told the Facebook detectives, she noticed something odd about Sherry's hands after Lisa went missing.
Just real red and
You know, like blistery red, like if you've soaking your hands in bleach.
And did you ask her about it?
Yeah, and she said she was cleaning, and she reeked of ammonia or Clorox or whatever.
Susan Scott says that she saw you with red, raw, chafed hands and you smelling like bleach because you had been feverishly cleaning inside the house. True or false?
False.
Didn't happen.
Did not happen.
Susan Scott also says Sherry had piled up Lisa's favorite furniture outside in the weeks after Lisa disappeared. She even took this photo.
We asked her about the furniture. The neighbor said that she had been giving away. It was Lisa's furniture, and the neighbor was very upset.
Sherry says the furniture was given away to the Salvation Army. The charity picked it up about a month after any of Lisa's friends had heard from her. But Sherry says Lisa was there for the pickup because the driver actually checked Lisa's face against her driver's license.
They actually match her license with her face. Lisa was standing in front of them, and they matched a driver's license picture with Lisa standing there.
Yes.
But 48 hours checked with the Salvation Army. And according to the charity, no one from that organization ever saw or spoke with Lisa Stone at her home.
I don't want to unjustly accuse anyone, but with all of the investigating and digging, it just seems like it all points to one person.
While the Facebook detectives have their theories, the Dallas police have a new man on the case with some ideas of his own.
You would not have to be a detective to think, well, something stinks here.
It's been weeks since anyone has seen or heard from 51-year-old Lisa Stone. And if it weren't for the Facebook detectives, the case itself may also have disappeared.
We were not going to let this die. Nobody deserves to just disappear.
But after being bombarded by information collected by Lisa's friends, the Dallas Police Department is finally taking the situation more seriously.
Thousands of people disappear every day in the United States. There's not many of them that have a group of friends such as Lisa had that would push and fight hard to find out what happened to her. Complete opposite personality.
Dallas PD veteran homicide detective Jim Gallagher has now been assigned to the case and says Lisa's friends have done a heck of a job keeping it alive.
You find the women credible?
Yes.
And you found their story about the items being thrown into the dumpster credible?
Yes. They brought a timeline with them. They brought photographs with them. And after just a few minutes with them, it was very obvious to me that we had something more than a missing person.
And unfortunately, Gallagher believes at this point, the chances of finding Lisa Stone alive are slim.
I think Lisa Stone was murdered. I think her body was disposed of. I don't think everybody surrounding this case are telling us 100% of the truth.
Particularly Lisa's girlfriend. Gallagher says Sherry Henry has been less than forthcoming with information.
She hasn't given me a clue about where Lisa is. If your roommate's missing, my first question was, why didn't you make a missing persons report?
And what did she say?
I didn't think she was missing. I think she ran off.
Do you define Sherry Henry as a person of interest?
Yes. Someone that I cannot, at this point, eliminate as a suspect.
Detective Gallagher got right in my face, and he said, we think you're lying.
What did you tell the cops when they said, do you know where she is?
They didn't ask me that.
They didn't ask you where, do you know where Lisa Stone is?
They didn't ask me that.
No Dallas police officer has ever asked you, do you know where Lisa Stone is?
They didn't ask me that.
But they're calling you today, to this day, they're still calling you their number one person of interest in a homicide case.
Well, they can call it in a homicide case, but where's your evidence that any crime has been committed?
Well, crime thing doesn't really fly anymore. There are a lot of murder
what
cases.
What doesn't fly with me anymore is that because you lived with her, you must be involved somehow. Doesn't fly.
I'm confident that Sherry isn't telling me 100% of the truth.
Which is why, just a few days after the Facebook friends dropped off the dumpster evidence, Dallas police showed up at Sherry and Lisa's house with a search warrant.
You come in and point AK-47s or whatever automatic weapons in front of my head and chest. At least 8 to 10 of the SWAT people around me.
So a SWAT team showed up to serve a search warrant?
Darn right. Now you tell me, what was justifiable in that?
Gallagher says it wasn't a SWAT team that served the warrant, but armed officers who were following police procedure. The search produced some interesting clues.
I have picked up some pieces of evidence in the home, pieces of clothing, trace evidence, some smears.
There are ways to find out if anything is being covered up, okay? I've watched enough crime scene shows to understand what goes on when you're looking for evidence. I guarantee you, if they had found blood spatter in that home, my butt would be in jail right now.
Sherry seems to have a lot to say about everything and everyone else, yet she refuses to answer even the most basic question.
When is the last time you saw Lisa?
Prior to the search warrant being issued. That's what I'm going to say.
So I just want to be clear, so I've covered my base as a reporter. You will not tell us specific days as to when the last time you spoke with or saw Lisa Stone?
No, I will not. No more. No more of this. It has to stop at some point. And I have to be the one to step up and say, enough of this. I am not here to have a bunch of people be a mystery sleuth any longer. This has taken a toll on me. What these women have done, what the Dallas Police Department have done to me, has upended my life to no end.
Interesting, because the Facebook friends say they just want their friend back, which they have come to realize may never happen.
Do you believe that Lisa is still alive today?
No.
No.
I hope, but realistically,
no.
If something sinister did happen to Lisa Stone, two questions remain.
What would be the motive here?
They had severe financial problems.
Lisa told me that Sherry would constantly ask her for money.
Lisa's neighbor, Juanita, heard similar stories.
You think Sherry was taking advantage of Lisa?
Oh, of course she was. She told me she ran up her credit cards. She told me she wrote hot checks on her.
You have no proof of that whatsoever. You don't see the money that comes and goes. All you know is Lisa was out of money. So, oh gosh, if Lisa's out of money, then Sherry must have spent it.
But it turns out that Sherry Henry does have a criminal record for stealing money. In 1995, she was convicted of forging a check for more than $8,000, a check in Lisa's father's name.
I don't want to get into that. I made a huge mistake. But I changed. I'm a changed person.
Another possible motive? Sex and love. It came as no surprise to the Facebook detectives when neighbor Susan Scott revealed that Lisa was being cheated on by Sherry.
So Sherry had another girlfriend on the side?
Yeah. She started coming over here, bringing her phone and talking to this other girl.
Weeks or months?
Yeah, a long time.
Were you having another relationship with another woman?
The person that is in my life now is extremely important to me.
Were you having a relationship with her in the months leading up to Lisa's disappearance?
If you're going to ask me, am I having an affair, no. I have every right to move on with my life. Lisa knew this. So you tell me that Lisa didn't know this. Lisa knew.
From motive to murder, there are so many unanswered questions in this case.
Where do you believe Lisa Stone is today?
I don't know.
You had nothing to do with the disappearance of Lisa Stone.
I had nothing to do with the disappearance of Lisa Stone. Enough of this. I want my life back. I am not guilty of anything.
This is so secluded and so easy to get to.
Despite their best efforts for nearly a year now.
They took dogs 30, 40 feet to the right of the bridge and 30, 40 feet to the left. And kind of
searching on foot.
I look for clothing, bedding, anything that you could use to conceal a person with.
And spending countless hours on Facebook. Lisa Stone's friends are sadly no closer to finding out what happened to her.
There are times where we just very disheartened and we just feel so frustrated. It's like, are we wasting our time? But then the next day, we all get fired up again. It's like, no, we're not going to let this die.
this is not going to go into a cold case. We are determined that's not going to happen.
But homicide detective Jim Gallagher says they may be headed for a dead end.
I don't know where Lisa Stone is. I have some theories.
Buried on the property?
No, into a dumpster.
Gallagher believes Lisa's body may have been put in a dumpster, just like her personal belongings, which were recovered by the Facebook detectives.
I think that's a possibility based on what the lady saw Sherry doing. I've had many investigations where we suspected human remains were disposed of in a dumpster. I've never recovered them.
Because they usually end up going into a landfill then?
I've spent weeks in landfills, hundreds of feet of garbage. It's packed, it's incinerated, it's chopped. Dogs are useless because of the many smells.
Based on his experience, Gallagher believes the killer did not act alone.
Whoever did that would need some help. You would have to move that body, you would have to dispose it covertly.
If Lisa died at her home, Gallagher theorizes that whoever disposed of the body would not have been seen.
The house is set up perfectly for something like that. There's a high fence. You could leave that property undetected, just pull out of your driveway into the alley and drive off.
And Gallagher strongly believes the case will be solved.
I can make 10 mistakes a day on this case and probably no repercussions, or I won't lose a whole lot. Whoever did this can only make one mistake, and I'm waiting for that. I need a careless whisper.
Gallagher may be waiting for a whisper, but his number one person of interest is letting out a scream.
I always told myself, why aren't you out there screaming to the world that you're not guilty?
Is this you screaming to the world you're not guilty?
You darn right it is. I am not guilty of anything.
The fact is, no one has seen this woman alive since the weekend of June 5th, 2010. No one other than you claims to have seen her alive. So you understand that does not look good.
For Facebook friends to say that, I don't know where they're getting their information.
It's not her Facebook friends. It's the police. It's the neighbors. Did you have anything to do with the disappearance of Lisa Stone?
Absolutely not.
Did you kill Lisa Stone?
Absolutely not.
But where is Lisa Stone today?
I don't know.
Where do you think she is?
I'm not going to speculate on that. I'm just not. Now, I may be at fault in how I handled the situation. But don't you dare come to me anymore and tell me that I haven't cooperated or I'm a murderer.
On this chilly winter morning, about a dozen of Lisa's Facebook friends have gathered to dedicate a bench in her memory.
Father, Lisa should be here. Someone has taken her from us. Father, we just pray that you will help us and help the police find justice for Lisa.
Their mission will continue in the field and on Facebook until they can bring their friend home.
Podcasts.